The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 8, verses from 19 to 21. Allow me to read the words. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen." Before I begin, please allow me to make an announcement. As announced previously, starting from December, every first through third Sunday worship sermon will be delivered by me, who is in charge of the Spirit. Reverend Kim Kwang-uk, responsible for the church administration, will preach fourth Sundays, and Reverend Kim Young-jun for external affairs, and Reverend Yi Young-lan for Sunday school will give sermon on every fifth Sunday. Please pray for the four pastors. When attending church for a long time, we often hear and say, "Someone has got tempted." Surprisingly, however, not many of us understand the meaning of temptation precisely. People would use that expression when thinking to stop reading the Bible or praying, offering worship online instead of attending church with no specific reason. Or offering worship alone because they feel uncomfortable or hurt by certain situation or words from others. When choosing hymns for Sunday worship service for a hymn before sermon, we choose what is fit for the message and theme of the sermon. While choosing hymns among certain groups for those sung before prayer and Bible reading. Hymns with the same lyrics could have different tunes, while there are those with the different lyrics and same tunes. The lyrics of hymn number 36 and 37 are the same, as they go, "All hail the power of Jesus' name," but their melodies are different. The same goes to hymn number 108 and 114. The lyrics are the same as "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head," but the tunes are different. In contrast, the lyrics of hymn 28 begins with "Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace," while number 383 goes as, "To the hills I lift mine eyes, oh, when shall mine assistance come," on the same melody. Also, number 427 and 550 have starts with different lyrics, go respectively as, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for God's favor he gives the kingdom of heaven," and "Hail to the brightness of Zion's glad morning, joy to the lands that in darkness have lain," and the melody is identical. As such, the same lyrics can be sung with different melodies and vice versa. The word temptation in the Bible is used in a similar way. One same word is used with several different meanings, as testified in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. God clearly concludes that he does not tempt anyone. He says instead, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. But Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2 testify as follows. Sometime later, God tested Abram. He said to him, "Abram." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the reign of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." God, who said not to tempt anyone, tempted Abram. He did it in a harsh and embarrassing way for Abram. If God tempted us to such a harsh way, we would answer, "God, you made it wrong, right? Otherwise, I will not talk or listen to you from now on." But Jesus was not an exception when it comes to tempting man. Among many signs that Jesus acted, the only sign that appears on all the four Gospels is the 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding 5,000 people. Before the act, Jesus said to his disciple Philip, as testified in John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus also tempted Philip by saying, "So, even if he knew that Philip was not able to feed thousands of people. As such, temptation is used in various ways because the term has meanings more than one. The word temptation is perismos in Greek, which has several different meanings, such as enticement, hardship, test, and experiment. They are generally known as enticement and test. That is why people often say, when the devil does, it's temptation, while it's training that God acts upon us. In the meantime, the most basic meaning of temptation is to check something if that's coming from God or the devil, what kind of condition we are at, and how much we are prepared. So when it comes to temptation, a litmus paper comes across in my mind. If you put red litmus paper into alkaline solution, it turns blue, while blue litmus for the acid turns red. Let's suppose that a man who has no knowledge of God at all as 100% acid, in contrast to 100% alkaline for those whom God wants the most. then God will put His litmus paper into our life to know how much we are prepared and how much we are turning into the people of God. And then He will lead us until when we become those whom God wants us to be, from 100% acid to 100% alkaline. So to speak, God uses a tool called temptation to check how much we changed as God's people, while the devil uses it as a tool to check how far we went away from God, so we can be controlled by the devil. The disciples who witnessed that Jesus prayed asked Jesus to teach how to pray. And Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. The last part of the Lord's Prayer is testified in today's scripture, verse 4, as follows: "And lead us not into temptation." The temptation we talk right here is obviously the evil plan of the devil to separate us from God and take control in us. So no matter what condition we are put under, we should never forget there always is a situation where we could be tempted. It is said that the man is the Lord of all creation, but it's when compared to other animals and plants. Animals, plants, and men are all the same as the creature before God. So there is no one who was excluded from temptation. Job was the greatest among those from the Orient. He was blameless, honest, feared God, and shunned evil based on the Bible. Satan didn't let him alone. Satan went before God and said he feared God because he was rich and healthy. That way, Job lost all his possessions as well as 10 children. Job was also afflicted with painful sores, which were so severe that he couldn't handle but scratch with fragments of pottery. What made Job more painful was the fact that he couldn't understand why he had to suffer that much. In addition, Peter, the disciple of Jesus, told Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Upon the confession, Jesus told that it was not him, but the Lord Father, and he will set up his church on such a confession. Afterwards, Jesus told his disciples that he will be in trouble and killed by the elders, priests, and law teachers, but will be alive on the third day. At the time, Peter argued, "This shouldn't be allowed from happening." But Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Satan didn't let the disciple Peter alone as well. No matter how good, how rich, or even how spiritual thing you are doing can still make no difference. There's no exception. Also, nowhere is safe when it comes to test. The first test bed was the Garden of Eden. To put the Garden of Eden differently, it is a perfect environment where nothing is lacking or short. There have been no other place better than the Garden of Eden. The event which took place among the devil, Adam and Eve, was testified in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You may not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, he took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Adam and Eve could have been able to do everything in the Garden of Eden. One thing they couldn't do was to eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, which would let them know good and evil. Without the fruit, Adam and Eve could have not been separate from God in the Garden of Eden. The fruit of the tree served as a warning signal for them to know who they are and who the God is. They looked up at the fruit and had to remember, "I am the Creator. But God created me. I am under control of God." Regarding that episode, many people do not understand man should live a righteous, meaningful, and valuable life only when reigned by God, and instead tend to argue, "God, why did you make the fruit of the tree?" This could not have happened without the fruit. You could have let Eve know not to think of the fruit as something edible, or you could have made her arm broken to prevent this from happening, blaming God. However, this was not just a matter of to eat or not, but a battle to decide between believing God's words or the devil's. It also was a matter of to follow the heart of mine or to be under the control of God. If you have a conflict inside about what to follow, your own desire or Lord's guidance, then you have to remember that is the fruit of the tree. The devil who tempted for the first time in human history also tempted Jesus, who were about to begin his public life. It took place in the wilderness. The wilderness is located across the Garden of Eden. To put it differently, the wilderness is where there is nothing. It's a desert land where everything to eat and drink is insufficient or lacking. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 testify what happened between Jesus and the devil. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The temptation that the devil did to Jesus was not fundamentally different to what was done for Adam and Eve. The devil tested Jesus, asking him to prove who Jesus was as the Messiah, whom we have longed for, by getting the people what they needed in the world. They could have not been a test if the devil did this to us, because we cannot make bread from stone and cannot give people what they want. Jesus, however, is not the same. It was easy for Jesus to make bread out of stone and to fill the worldly needs. Therefore, this task was serious for Jesus. Then Jesus firmly refused by saying, "I did not come to this land to do as I wish, but to act according to the words of God." The temptation of the devil was there in the Garden of Eden, which was a perfect environment, and in the wilderness, the most barren desert. It was for those who were rich and ran away from evil, for the disciples, and even for the Son of God. So the devil will test us whatever condition we are put under, or what kind of figure we will become. If you think that you will become a better Christian if and when you become a little better person, or the condition gets a little bit better than now, then you are wrong. We pray saying, "Lead us not into temptation," and determine not to live a life where myself, devil, or secular views instead of that controlled by God dominate. It is embarrassing that we could not sometimes tell between what's from God and the devil when there is a test which troubles us. But what's more important than that is the fact that it cannot let us fall down. And God creates the good from all those, because the devil is in the hands of God, even if that's evil temptation toward us. Although Adam and Eve fell down by a moment's temptation, and they ate what they shouldn't, God gave garments of skin and clothed to renew them. Job was tested for no reason and lost his properties, children, and health. But God knew that and got him recovered. Peter says something absurd due to the impulse of the devil, which soon became a lie. Even if he announced, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." when he was tempted, feeling a great sense of shame? Jesus let him realize through a crying rooster what he really was and went all the way to Galilee for him so that he could live the rest of his life for the Lord. The reason we could pray with hope, saying, "Lead us not into temptation," is that God will guide us and take care of us forever when we determine to be reigned by God, even when there are weakness, mistakes, and faults inside us. Now, the joint pastorship kicked off at the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. As mentioned by Reverend Nizeto in last May, the reason that our church could begin the joint pastorship with four head pastors was that we believe that the time when a church is controlled by one head pastor was gone. If one head pastor tries to wield his absolute power like a head of a business, the church would fall into a company. While it could become a political group if the head pastor argues his political views, the head pastor who are obsessed with money and fame could also become a place of conflicts, passing the burden right onto the congregation. Therefore, the four pastors, including me, will spare no effort to make this church where God is the subject, while the congregation becomes the verbs, so that they support each other. We'll also make the utmost effort to accomplish our mission to usher in the way to the 200th anniversary of the Korean church. But we all are well aware how weak and imperfect we are. Please pray for us. It happened 3 weeks ago. I arrived at the church at around 8:10 in the morning and went to the office on the fourth floor at the main worship hall where Reverend Nizetar used to use. The office on Sunday morning is usually preheated and warm enough. That day as well, I opened the door to get in and felt as if the office was an endless wilderness. Even though the heater was on, I felt rough winds were blowing, and I was right in the middle of the wilderness. I've been there in the office more than 100 times on Sundays for sermon, but it was my first time feeling that way. The day before was when Reverend Nizetar moved to Gochang. I sat down on a chair and prayed, "Dear God, guide the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. Please help the four head pastors." Twenty-one years ago, in October 1997, I was ordained as a minister. There was a worship service before the ordainment, and I cannot forget the prayer that an elder offered for the worship. I don't remember the face or name of the elder, as well as the church where he attended. But the prayer that he offered in that day stayed vividly in my mind. His prayer was heard just as what God told me. I thought he would say, "God, please help those who are ordained to become your servants with power and ministers who would do your work throughout their lives." Or, help them to become ministers who humbly serve the Lord. But on that day, he offered a prayer with four messages. First, God, please help them not to change. He might have prayed that way after seeing ordained ministers who changed over time. To put more precisely, saying help them not to change means help them not to be corrupt. Among what people told me the most is, Pastor, please don't change. But we should change instead of being corrupted. We need to become mature until when our spirit looks like Jesus. That is what the Lord wants us to be. The second message was, help them not to love the world. To his eye, he must have felt that many ministers love the world more than God. That also was engraved in my heart, so I often use the expression, help me not to follow the world, because a righteous life of Christian cannot be sustained if dominated by secular perspectives. Third, help them not to be lazy. He must have witnessed many ministers who are not diligent enough. So I pray, God, help me to be awakened all the time and allow me to be used by God and enjoy the grace of the Lord. Lastly, he prayed, help them not to discriminate people. He might have felt that ministers had bias. So what I'm trying is to be equal among people. The prayer that night for me was from God. Hanjo, don't you ever change. Do not follow the world. Don't get lazy. Don't discriminate. Please pray for the four head pastors so that we will not change who we are and keep going till the end. Also, when we hope the reign of God, who is the subject of everything, and live a life of a verb, following God and his words, at a place where God planted us with all his heart and soul, our church will become a true church, thanks to God who accomplishes the good no matter how many temptations and trials would come. So the joint pastorship will pave the pathway for the future of the Korean church as another milestone and leave the first steps on snow. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for letting us realize we are the tools of God who makes us as your true children, keeping what we consider temptation we've experienced so far, whether it came from God or Satan, from breaking us down. Looking back upon our life, things that once led us into tears, disappointment, and frustration, even making to feel to the end of life, now made us kneel to God, look up to God, and try to become faithful as we confess. Please help us keep obedient, till the end of our life, no matter what happens, wherever we are guided, so that we will never forget where we'll be is the place where God planted us with all his heart and soul. Father God, now we are at the starting point to connect the road you have guided us so far with the joint pastorship. Have the four head pastors and our church stay humble till the end of this road. Allow us to remember that the owner of this church is God, and we are those who follow, and the subject of the church is God while we are verbs. Like a tree needs healthy lower branches to grow strong and bear fruit, help us become your children who willingly hope to be the lower branches for the top and be pleased with bearing fruit so that this joint pastorship, which God planted with all your heart and soul, become a new milestone for the Korean church on the way toward the 200th anniversary of the Korean church and the first step on snow. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.